It's certainly good to be back with you today after being away in gospel meeting work in southeastern Ohio in Monroe County with the Brownsville, Ohio Church of Christ. It was a privilege to be with them and to work with Brother Fleeman, who is the local preacher there, and to stay in the home of the Krieg family. Enjoyed the week, and we had several to come and visit with us, and always good to be with you and appreciate the work that was done here while I was away. As you pick up this volume and begin to read and study its pages, you come to realize that God expects His people to be a hospitable people. A number of times the Bible talks about hospitality, which literally means love of strangers. Back in the book of Leviticus in chapter 19, verses 33 and 34, the Lord instructed His Old Testament people, "And if a stranger sojourn with thee in your land, ye shall not vex him, but the stranger that dwelleth with you shall be unto you as one born among you, and thou shalt love him as thyself. For ye were strangers in the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God." As you come to the New Testament, time and again, the Lord enjoins hospitality upon His people. In Romans chapter 12 and 13, Paul said, "Given to hospitality." One of the qualifications of a bishop or an elder in the church of our Lord is that he be given to hospitality, or be a lover of hospitality. 1 Timothy 3:2 and Titus 1:8. When Paul wrote Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 5 about a widow being taken into the number, one of the qualifications upon which she is to be taken into the number is that she have lodged strangers in 1 Timothy 5, 9 and 10. Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 4 and in verse 9, "Use hospitality one to another without grudging." And the Hebrew writer in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 2 said, "Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares." And so often the Bible talks about hospitality. What I'd like for us to do in this brief study is call attention to some hospitable people of the Bible, that you and I might learn what hospitality is about and be encouraged to practice hospitality. The first hospitality example that I'd like for us to notice is in regard to Abraham and Sarah. As you make a study of hospitable people of the Bible, you have to remember Abraham and Sarah. In Genesis chapter 18, we read where in verse 1, "The Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre, and he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day. And he lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door, and bowed himself toward the ground, and said, My Lord, if now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant. Let a little water, I pray you, be fetched, and wash your feet, and rest yourselves under the tree. And I will fetch a morsel of bread, and comfort ye your hearts. After that ye shall pass on. For therefore are ye come to your servant." And they said, "So do as thou hast said." And Abraham hastened into the tent unto Sarah, and said, "Make ready quickly 3 measures of fine meal, knead it, and make cakes upon the hearth." And Abraham ran unto the herd, and fetched a calf tender and good, and gave it unto a young man, and he hasted to dress it. And he took butter and milk, and the calf which he had dressed, and set it before them, and he stood by them under the tree, and they did eat. I believe that expresses hospitality at its finest. Notice as these strangers made their appearance unto Abraham, that the Bible says when he saw them, he ran to meet them. He didn't just run into the tent and hide, but he ran to meet them. And he called himself their servant. He said in verse 2 and 3, as he approached these men, "My Lord, if now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant." He begged the men to stay when he said, "Pass not away, I pray thee." And he, along with his wife Sarah, provided for their needs. They provided food, they provided water, and a place to rest in verses 4 through 8. And notice as Abraham hastened into the tent, what he said to Sarah, his wife, "Make ready quickly." And he runs into the herd and fetches a calf tender and good and gave it to a young man, and he hasted to dress it. He took butter, milk, and the calf which he had dressed, and set it before them, and they did eat. If you and I had been Abraham or Sarah, would we have done what they did? Would we have gone to the lengths to which they did to practice hospitality? But also, as you think about hospitable people of the Bible, think about Abraham's nephew Lot and the hospitality that he showed to the two angels that came to Sodom, as recorded in Genesis 19. We pick up the story beginning in verse 1. And there came two angels to Sodom at even, and Lot sat in the gate of Sodom, and Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them. And he bowed himself with his face toward the ground. And he said, Behold now, my lords, turn in, I pray you, into your servant's house, and tarry all night, and wash your feet, and ye shall rise up early, and go on your ways. And they said, Nay, but we will abide in the street all night. And he pressed upon them greatly, and they turned in unto him, and entered into his house, and he made them a feast, and did bake unleavened bread, and they did eat. But before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house around, both old and young, all the people from every quarter. And they called unto Lot, and said unto him, Where are the men which came in to thee this night? Bring them out unto us, that we may know them. And Lot went out at the door unto them, and shut the door after him, and said, I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly. Behold now, I have two daughters which have not known man. Let me, I pray you, bring them out unto you, and do ye to them as is good in your eyes. Only unto these men do nothing, for therefore come they under the shadow of my roof. And they said, Stand back. And they said again, This one fellow came in to sojourn, and he will needs be a judge. Now will we deal worse with thee than with them. And they pressed sore upon the man, even Lot, and came near to break the door. But the men put forth their hand, and pulled Lot into the house to them, and shut to the door. And they smote the men that were at the door of the house with blindness, both small and great, so that they wearied themselves to find the door. Notice what Lot did as he practiced hospitality in this situation. He saw two strangers, and the Bible says he rose up to meet them. He called himself their servant in verse 2. And he begged these strangers to turn into his house in verses 2 and 3. He provided protection for his guest. He talked about them coming under the shadow of his roof. Again, if I'd been Lot, would we have done that? If you found two strangers, would you have run to meet them? Would you have called yourself their servant? Would you have begged them to turn into your house? And would you have provided protection for them as he did? But then also, as you make your way through the Old Testament, think about another example. Rebekah and her family were a hospitable family. In Genesis chapter 24, we read where Abraham was stricken in age and he sends his eldest servant to find a wife for his son Isaac. He said, Go unto my country and to my kindred and take a wife unto my son Isaac. Genesis 24 and in verse 4. Down at verse 15, it came to pass, before he had done speaking, that, behold, Rebekah came out, who was born to Bethuel, son of Milcah, the wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother, with her pitcher upon her shoulder. And the damsel was very fair to look upon, a virgin, neither had any man known her, and she went down to the well and filled her pitcher and came up. And the servant ran to meet her and said, Let me, I pray thee, drink a little water of thy pitcher. And she said, Drink, my lord. And she hasted and let down her pitcher upon her hand and gave him drink. And when she had done giving him drink, she said, I'll draw water for thy camels also until they have done drinking. And she hasted and emptied her pitcher into the trough and ran again under the well to draw water and drew for all his camels. And the man, wondering at her, held his peace, to wit whether the Lord had made his journey prosperous or not. And it came to pass, as the camels had done drinking, that the man took a golden earring of half a shekel weight, and two bracelets for her hands of 10 shekels weight of gold, and said, Whose daughter art thou? Tell me, I pray thee, is there room in thy father's house for us to lodge in? And she said unto him, I am the daughter of Bethuel, the son of Milcah, which she bare unto Nahor. She said moreover unto him, We have both straw and provender enough, and room to lodge in. And the man bowed down his head and worshipped the Lord. And he said, Blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who hath not left destitute my master of his mercy and his truth. I being in the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren, and the damsel ran and told them of her mother's house these things. Now, as you drop down to verse 31, notice that Laban, Rebekah's brother, says, "Come in, thou blessed of the Lord. Wherefore standest thou without? For I have prepared the house and room for the camels." And the man came into the house, and he ungirded his camels and gave straw and provender for the camels and water to wash his feet and the men's feet that were with him. And there was set meat before him to eat, but he said, "I will not eat until I have told mine errand." And he said, "Speak on." And then down at verse 54, the Bible says, "They did eat and drink, he and the men that were with him, and tarried all night. And they rose up in the morning, and he said, 'Send me away unto my master.'" Notice their hospitality. Notice how Rebekah drew water for Abraham's servant and for all his camels in verses 18 through 20. And then when asked, "Is there room?" Rebekah could have said, "No, there's not room." But she said, "We have enough," in verses 23 through 25. And then Laban said, "Come," and he made preparations for him to come in and to have his needs met in verses 31 and 32. The Bible says in verse 33 that they set meat before him to eat, and they gave him a lodging place. As verse 54 says, "They did eat and drink, he and the men that were with him, and tarried all night, and they rose up in the morning." Notice this hospitality. As you think about hospitable people in the Bible, you have to think about Rebekah and her family. Would we have been as hospitable toward these men as they were toward them? But also notice the hospitality of the Shunammite woman. As you turn in the Old Testament further to the book of 2 Kings in chapter 4, we read of the work of Elisha the prophet. And in verse 8, it fell on a day that Elisha passed to Shunem, where was a great woman, and she constrained him to eat bread. And so it was that as oft as he passed by, he turned in thither to eat bread. And she said unto her husband, "Behold now, I perceive that this is an holy man of God, which passeth by us continually. Let us make a little chamber, I pray thee, on the wall, and let us set for him there a bed, and a table, and a stool, and a candlestick. And it shall be, when he cometh to us, that he shall turn in thither." And it fell on a day that he came thither, and he turned in to the chamber and lay there. And he said to Gehazi his servant, "Call this Shunammite." And when he had called her, she stood before him. And he said unto him, "Say now unto her, Behold, thou hast been careful for us with all this care. What is to be done for thee? Wouldest thou be spoken for to the king or to the captain of the host?" And she answered, "I dwell among mine own people." As you think about her hospitality, this great woman constrained Elisha to eat bread. As she constrained him, she compelled him. That is, she would not take no for an answer. He felt obligated to turn in to their home. She made her guest feel welcome. For the Bible says, as oft as he passed by, he turned in thither to eat bread. She recognized the needs of her guest. She said to her husband, "Let us make a little chamber and set for him there a bed and a table and a stool and a candlestick." And what would have been your reaction if your wife suggested that to you? "Let's add on a room." You might have said, "Don't you know what the cost of building materials is these days, or how much labor is? What's that going to cost us?" But recognizing the needs of this man of God, a room, a bed, a table, a stool, and a candlestick, they accommodated him, and the Bible says, did what she could. She showed much care and concern, for verse 13 finds him saying, "Behold, thou hast been careful for us with all this care." And she expected nothing, suggested some things that could be done. She could have said, "Yes, speak to the king or to the captain of the host for me." But she just simply said, I dwell among mine own people. You know, sometimes there are those who do certain things expecting something in return, but not this woman. She didn't practice hospitality expecting something in return. Sometimes there are those who will practice hospitality and they expect you to do something for them. No, we do what the Lord expects of us when it comes to hospitality, not expecting anything in return, not expecting recompense or repayment. Would you have been as hospitable as this woman, the Shunammite woman, was? But then as I think about hospitable people of the Bible, I think about Job as well. We often think of Job from the standpoint of his patience. He's remembered in James 5:11 as being a man of patience. But also we can think of him as a man of hospitality. For in Job 31 and in verse 32, Job said, the stranger did not lodge in the street, but I have opened my doors to the traveler. What an expression, what a statement that could be made by this man. It says something about his hospitality, doesn't it? Could we say that today? The stranger did not lodge in the street, but I opened my doors to the traveler. But then also, when you think about hospitable people of the Bible, let's turn now to the New Testament. Notice some examples. As there were hospitable people in the Old Testament, there's some in the New Testament. And the first one that I think about is the Good Samaritan. We read about the Good Samaritan in Luke chapter 10, verses 30 through 36. When Jesus said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him and went to him, and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence, and gave them to the host, and said unto him, take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. The Lord asked, which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And he said, he that showed mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, go, and do thou likewise. Notice the hospitality of the Samaritan. First of all, the Bible says he had compassion. He had pity on the man that was in this situation. And his compassion or his pity is seen as he bound up his wounds, he set him on his own beast, he brought him to an inn, and he took care of him. And not only that, the Bible says he paid for his care in the inn. And the Lord said, go and do thou likewise. Here is love of strangers, hospitality at its finest. But then also, when you think about hospitable people of the Bible, you might think about Mary and Martha in Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 42. It came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet, and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. This story involves Jesus being the guest in Mary and Martha's home. Notice their hospitality. They received him into their house. Mary sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving. And the Lord said that Mary hath chosen that good part. If you'd been Mary, would you have chosen the good part? Or would you have been cumbered or troubled about many things? But then notice, as you think about hospitable people of the Bible, the example of Lydia. As we turn our attention to the book of Acts, in chapter 16, we read where the gospel reaches Macedonia. In Acts 16, in verse 14, we read of a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshiped God, heard us, that is, heard Paul and those that were with him, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. And when she was baptized in her household, she besought us, saying, If ye have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us. Here's a woman that, with others, was found by a riverside. And Paul and his traveling companions met her and others that were with her and preached the gospel to them. Her heart was open to the things that were spoken, and she obeyed the gospel. And notice how, upon her conversion, that she constrained them to come into her house. She said, If ye have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. Notice the Bible says she constrained them. That is, she made them feel obligated to come. You know, sometimes there are those who might say, You wouldn't want to come into my house, would you? And they're kind of expecting you to say no. But that's not the picture that I get from this story. She constrained them. You know, there are those that they make you feel that you need to go, you want to go, and you feel constrained, you feel obligated to do that. If you had been Lydia, would you have constrained Paul and Silas? It'd been hard to turn that down, wouldn't it? When she said, If you've judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house. If they didn't go into her house, then that would have been an indication that they didn't judge her to be faithful. And so they went into her house and accepted her invitation. We need more women like Lydia, don't we? Who constrain folks like that to come into their house and receive their hospitality. But another example of hospitable people in the Bible would be Aquila and Priscilla. In Acts chapter 18, the Bible says in verse 1 beginning, After these things, Paul departed from Athens and came to Corinth and found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, lately come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because that Claudius had commanded all Jews to depart from Rome, and came unto them. And because he was of the same craft, he abode with them and wrought, for by their occupation they were tent makers. Notice that Paul abode with Aquila and Priscilla. And as further expression of their hospitality, notice in Acts 18, verse 24, where we read of Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the Scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in the Spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. And began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them, and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. Not only is their hospitality seen from the standpoint of Paul's abiding with them, but they're taking Apollos unto them and instructing him, expounding unto him the way of God more perfectly. I appreciate that, don't you? That here's a couple that they recognize that Apollos is preaching the baptism of John, a baptism that was then invalid, that it expired. And so how do they handle that? What do? They take him unto them and they instruct him. Paul refers to Aquila and Priscilla in Romans chapter 16. As he makes various commendations, he says in verse 3, Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus, who have for my life laid down their own necks, unto whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. Notice how Paul refers to them as his helpers in Christ Jesus. Gospel preachers need helpers. And one way that you can be a helper is by being an Aquila and a Priscilla. But then, as you think about hospitable people of the Bible, let me share with you one other example. And that is the example of Publius in Acts chapter 28. In Acts 28, we read where Paul and others had suffered shipwreck. And they are escaped unto an island called Melita. And in verse 2 of Acts 28, we read where the barbarous people showed us no little kindness. That is, they showed great kindness toward Paul. For they kindled a fire and received us every one because of the present rain and because of the cold. And when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, there came a viper out of the fire and fastened on his hand. And when the barbarians saw the venomous beast hang on his hand, they said among themselves, "No doubt this man is a murderer, whom, though he hath escaped the sea, yet vengeance suffereth not to live." And he shook off the beast into the fire and felt no harm. Howbeit they looked when he should have swollen or fallen down dead suddenly. But after they had looked a great while and saw no harm come to him, they changed their minds and said that he was a god. In the same quarters were possessions of the chief man of the island, whose name was Publius, who received us and lodged us 3 days courteously. And it came to pass that the father of Publius lay sick of a fever and of a bloody flux, to whom Paul entered in and prayed and laid his hands on him and healed him. So when this was done, others also which had diseases in the island came and were healed, who also honored us with many honors. And when we departed, they laded us with such things as were necessary. These barbarous people, as they're identified, were hospitable people. And notice how Publius was a hospitable man, a man of hospitality, who, Paul said, received us and lodged us 3 days courteously. If you had been Publius, would you have been as courteous as he was? Would you have practiced the hospitality that he did? You might contrast those examples with the case of neglect that we read about in Luke chapter 16, verses 19 through 25. Remember the case of the rich man and Lazarus, and how that Lazarus was laid at his gate, full of sores, desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. And the dogs came and licked his sores. Think about the neglect of that example compared with the great hospitality examples that we've already noticed. And in 1 John chapter 3 and in verse 17, where John said, "Whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him?" You know, some are going to be lost at the judgment because of neglecting hospitality. In Matthew chapter 25, when Jesus pictured the judgment scene, he represented the judgment from the standpoint of sheep being separated from the goats. The sheep on the right hand and goats on the left. And those on the right hand are those that are the righteous that will go away into life eternal. But those on the left hand, represented as goats, the unrighteous that will go away into everlasting punishment. And the thing that made the difference between those was hospitality. The Lord said, "I was sick and you visited me." He said, "I was a stranger and you took me in." He spoke those words to the righteous. But then to those on the left hand, he said, "I was a stranger and you took me not in." And when they did for their brethren, they did for the Lord. But when they neglected practicing hospitality toward their brethren, they were in essence neglecting the Lord. And so that scene ought to cause me to examine myself and ought to make me a hospitable person, because eternity is at stake. But as you think about hospitality, remember the fact that God is hospitable. How that while we were strangers, He took us in. In Ephesians chapter 2 and in verse 19, when Paul wrote the Ephesians, he said, "Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God." In the book of Romans chapter 5 and verse 8, Paul said that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And so God has taken us in, hasn't He? As Gentiles, strangers, foreigners, and made us to be his own children. And based upon the fact that the Lord's people are one time strangers, he said that you are to remember the stranger. And he commanded them to practice hospitality. And so we think about the hospitality that God has shown to us in receiving us, in taking us in, in forgiving us of our sins, and all of the blessings that he has made available to us in Christ Jesus. We need to practice hospitality toward our brethren and toward those who are strangers. May God help us to do that, that we might be a people that are pleasing in his sight. We'd like to give an opportunity now for those who have not yet obeyed the gospel to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. You've heard his word. Do you believe it? Would you be willing to obey it today, to repent of your sins, to confess your faith that Jesus is the Son of God, and to be baptized? Maybe you've already obeyed the Lord, but you've not been faithful to him. You need to make your life right with him through repentance and prayer. We'd be happy to pray with you and for you as together we stand and sing.